We're back in our passage in John 15 this morning. We're going to continue our series that we've been doing on the seven I Ams of Christ and continue on this particular one that we were on, the last one, where Christ speaks of being the true vine. I want to begin reading in John chapter 15 this morning. Please turn there to John chapter 15. And we'll begin reading again in verse number 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let's pray. Father, again, as we continue this context and this passage of Scripture, we ask that you'd give us direction and understanding. And Lord, be clear as to the meaning of these passages and these verses. Lord, we'd have truths to apply to our lives at this time in our lives, Lord, go out into the week with, and Lord, conform ourselves better to the service that you have called us to do. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Now, last week we introduced this passage here, and we went back to the Old Testament, if you'll recall, and we saw that Israel was regarded as a vine all throughout the Old Testament, but that vine, Israel, had miserably failed at accomplishing the task of blessing all the nations, as God had given that promise to Abraham that Israel would bless all the nations, and Israel had failed at that, and we went through different passages that the fruit they produced may have appeared to be good. As the vine, they produced fruit, and you could see the fruit, perhaps, and it may have looked good. But especially as we saw from Isaiah chapter 5, when that fruit was opened, it realized that it was a rotting fruit. It was corruption. It was full of hypocrisy and religion. And as we saw, that the religious vine of Israel sadly believed that everything that they were doing was right and proper. Everything they were doing was for the glory of God, and they believed that they were producing fruit that was valuable. And a religion and its religious fruit is basically rooted in the idea that Christ just isn't sufficient enough to believe in. Israel often struggled with the faith that we saw last week. They turned to the tangible emotional worships. They turned to tangible gods that they could see, like Baal and Moloch or Ashtaroth, or the classic example of the golden calf. But this alternative source of religion that they turned to, even though it may have produced fruit, it was fruit that was worthless. It was something that only appeared good. The religion that produces something but is not what the Lord Jesus Christ is looking for. And in contrast to this vine in chapter 15, verse 1, this is why Christ makes the statement that he is just not any vine, but he is the true vine in contrast to the false vines that religion has to offer. And we talked about last week that the main point of this passage is not really about salvation, but it's about fruitfulness. That as believers, we must be in the Lord Jesus Christ, abiding in Him, some things we're going to talk about later, in order to produce fruit. And as I've continued to study this and then thought about it some more as I've studied this, I thought more about what exactly is Christ meaning when He talks about producing fruit. And as we look into some other passages in the book of John, and even further down into the chapter 15 here, we get an understanding of what this fruit is. And I believe it's very important for us to understand what the Father and what Jesus Christ is talking about with fruit. Because if we have a wrong view of this, we're going to have a wrong interpretation of this passage. And many theologies have gone astray from this very passage here. So let's look down into the chapter 15. I want to bring out one verse that I've been studying here. In verse number 16. Look down to verse 16. And we're going to notice some things about fruit that's going to give us a better idea of what it means and what it is that Christ is talking about producing fruit. Verse number 16. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. Let's notice a few things about this passage. First of all, we are chosen and ordained as believers to bring forth the fruit. Now notice that we did not choose Christ. In the days that Christ was speaking here with the Jews and the disciples, there was different schools of rabbis, and a student or a person that desired to learn would have the privilege of choosing what rabbi he would want to follow. Or, you know, like we do today, students have the opportunity to choose what school they're going to go to, what university or what have you. And so to the disciples, they were in that kind of culture, and, you know, they would choose to follow a teacher. Well, the Lord himself was known as the rabbi, a teacher, but the disciples didn't choose to follow that teacher. He chose them. He ordained them, it says in this verse. And Christ is making it clear that in the fruit-bearing business, if you want to call it that, none of the initiative comes from us. We don't go out and choose. We don't go out and begin the process. We don't have our own strength to fulfill the task that the Father wants us to do, but it is all from this true vine, Jesus Christ. Now, it's very important to understand in verse number 16, this small word ordained. Ordained. In the Greek, it is the word etheka, which literally means to put or to place. It does not refer to an ecclesiastical appointment, but rather this Greek word has the idea of appointing someone. Here's the key to fruit bearing. Appointing someone to service rather than appointing them to a religious position or a name or a hierarchical type of idea here. It is the idea of you are being sent out and commissioned to fulfill a service and a task. So there is a service that we as believers are appointed to, and the ultimate goal, the end, the result that the Father wants to see in our service is the production of fruit. Secondly, from this verse, it says that we are to go and bring forth the fruit. Now, this is not something that's viewed as a task or even a burden, but it is an honor and a blessing. You know, so many times if we've been serving the Lord or in the ministry or whatever, over time we begin to look at it as a burden, or we look at it as a task, or maybe even a job. But here it is something that Christ is getting across the point that this is an honor and a blessing that I have appointed you to service. It is something that is to be a blessing to us, a privilege to us. And this service of going out and bringing forth the fruit cannot be done outside of Christ. Now hold your fingers right there in John 15, because on this point of going out and bringing the fruit, I want to bring out one other point in John chapter 4. So flip back a few pages. Remember now, Christ chose us. He appointed us to service. And that service is to go and bring forth the fruit. Now look in John chapter 4. Look in verse 34. This is a very familiar passage, but I want to bring out one specific verse. My meat, Jesus said, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. John 4, 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh the harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. He that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto eternal life, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Reapeth, receiveth wages, and gathereth fruit unto eternal life. Why? So that we may rejoice together. Verse 37, one soweth, another reapeth. Verse 38, I sent you service to reap that whereon ye bestowed no labor. Other men labored, and ye are entered into their labors. Christ is talking about the fields that are white unto harvest, and those who reap are bringing fruit that is to eternal life. The sower and the reaper then rejoicing together that this specific type of fruit has come. So what is Christ talking about here with fruit? He is talking about the service that we do as believers through Him only, through the vine, where we can help lead people to salvation, where we can help people come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ. People are the things that have eternal life. God gives us eternal life, and that is what the Father and Jesus Christ is talking about here, that as we go out in labor, as we go out into our service, what is the fruit that we should be looking for? It is the work of God in the hearts of people. And it is a privilege, an honor, and a blessing to be in the true vine so that He can use us to help lead these people to the Savior. Again, in the Old Testament, that's what Israel was to do, to lead them, to bless the nations, to bring them to the Father, and they failed at it. But now as the church and as believers, we are in Christ so that we can fulfill this task. Now back in John 15, we're going to talk more about this in a minute, but back in John 15, kind of goes along with what we just read, but in verse 16, a third point about this fruit is that we are to bring forth fruit that remains. Fruit that remains. This has the idea of something that doesn't perish, something that is lasting, something that is enduring. I want to tell you this morning, if you are going out in the power of religion, if you're going to go out and serve in the power of the flesh even, or what you think your own accomplishments and your abilities, the fruit that you may bring, it may look good, but it is fruit that will perish. It is fruit that will not last. But going in the strength of the true vine, the fruit that we bring is lasting and enduring. And then we can begin to rejoice for the souls that are brought into the kingdom. This is remaining fruit that lasts for eternity because of the work of Christ. Now, I know in the Bible there are different types of fruit that are referred to. I've written some of them down here. There's different contexts of fruit that are mentioned. There's the fruit of the Spirit that many people often refer to quickly in Galatians 5 and Ephesians 5. There's in Romans 6, there's fruit unto holiness. There's Hebrews 12, fruit of righteousness. There's the fruit of our lips and giving praise to the Lord in Hebrews 13. There's even the fruit of our hands in 1 Corinthians. But I believe that in this context, in John chapter 15, that the Lord Jesus Christ is giving the commission, the call to the disciples that your fruit to bear is going to be leading people to my name. Going out to the fields to bring forth that fruit that remains, eternal life seen in the souls of men because of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now, so the disciples are to go out and to bring forth this fruit, the fruit that is to remain, the fruit that is eternal, and fruit that therefore is people. Now remember, as I said, Israel had failed at this, so now God is turning to the church. He's turning to the disciples even here through the Lord Jesus Christ to bear forth this fruit. And the point of this passage is, as we go out into our service, as we go out to do the task that the Father has honored us to do, that we must not do it in the power of ourselves. We must not do it in the name of religion. We must do it solely through the influence, the power, the energy, the resource, the source of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true vine. You know, the typical evangelistic efforts of our day always concentrate on me or on the evangelist or on what the church is going to do. And we put all the focus upon ourselves. You know, how many people have I led to professions in faith? And have I met my quota for salvation this week or different things like that? Man tends to focus on his strength, the methods that he uses in evangelism, the methods that he uses in going out to try to bring forth fruit, and the great strength that we had in our wonderful accomplishments and abilities to bring forth converts, and then we sit back and look at our fruit and we just take pride at all the things that we've done, and that is the typical religious way of bearing fruit. The whole focus is bringing glory to my name, or to my church, to whatever it may be, to my system of methodology, which is the total opposite of the purpose of what Christ is calling us to do. Look in verse number 8. We read this last week as well. What is the purpose of bearing fruit? The only reason to bear fruit is to glorify the Father. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Now fruit, then, as I kind of bring it to a conclusion here of this point, is our service and the people that are affected by our service. Now, I think just where we are here in the ministry that the Lord's given us. Think of the many opportunities that we have before us to serve. Maybe it's in the Bible club, taking orders or whatever, as the pastor mentioned in his prayer, and taking phone calls and things. Or in the school, teaching in the classroom, in the learning center with the younger children, working the maintenance, working on the projector, whatever thing the Lord has called you to do. As we go out into this service, where's the strength coming from? Where am I turning to in order to fulfill this honor of service that the Lord Jesus Christ has bestowed upon me? If we are turning to our own strength, to our own wonderful mindset that we have and our brilliance and the great things that we have and our abilities, then it may bring forth some fruit. It may appear to be fruitful, but in the end, it will perish. It will be corruptible. It will not be the fruit of verse 16 that's going to remain in the lives, eternal lives of people. Now, our daily service, our ministry for the Lord that we fulfill, we are to focus on bringing the lost to the Savior, or contributing even to the growth of those that already know the Lord. You know, we're going to have classrooms full of children this year. Some know the Lord, some perhaps don't know the Lord, but we are to not sit back and think we can do the job of the husbandman. Now, we like to take that mindset, don't we? Look in verse 1. My Father is the husbandman. Now, we mentioned this last week, but the father is the one who inspects the branches, doesn't he? Isn't that what the husbandman does? We talked about that last week. He's the one that looks. He's the one that tends to it. He not only owns the land, he also cares for and cultivates and gardens the vine, is the idea of that Greek word there. The father is the one who investigates. He looks. He's the one who enjoys the fruit that is brought. It is for his glory. And so many times we get into trouble when we think we're the deciding factors of the fruit bearing. We think we know when to cleanse something, when to prune something, when to take care of this, but it's the father that's the husbandman. And this thinking contributes to the rise of religion and pride in our hearts and minds. Sitting back and thinking, I can be the husbandman in the classroom. I can be the husbandman in the ministry that God's called me to do. I know what to do, when and where. I know where to look for the fruit. Our job is to be faithful in the service, to have the source from the true vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, flowing through us, the power of His Word, so that when we serve the Lord in the classroom, whatever it may be, that it is His glory, that it is the fruit that is being eternal, fruit that's going to remain, so that when the husbandman comes to inspect, His name is glorified, not our name. We are to be faithful in presenting the gospel, faithful in presenting the whole counsel of God, and let the Father worry about the fruit. The Father is going to inspect. The Father is going to look and see what needs to be taken care of and what glorifies His name. Now, in the next several verses here of chapter 15, beginning probably around verse number 2 and going on down to verse 11 that we read this morning, Christ gives, I don't know, you could call them pointers or you can call them principles or on fruitfulness, whatever you want to call them, of what will contribute to bringing fruit to the Father. You know, as I was reading a few weeks ago this passage, I read it several times and I said, wow, I can find some points in here. I was getting pretty excited. I think I was telling Bill about it. I was getting real excited that, I found 3 points in here. And then a couple of days later, I opened my Bible back up and I looked down in my Schofield notes and he has the exact same 3 points. So I felt, well, maybe I didn't find something neat in there, but maybe everybody knows it. But if you have a Schofield, you can look right down in the notes of chapter 15, and he calls it 3 conditions to a fruitful life: cleansing, obedience, and abiding, or cleansing, abiding, and obedience. If you want to look down in the Schofield and see those 3 things, if I'm talking too fast, then feel free to do that. But this morning, I wanted to look at some of these 3 conditions to a fruitful life, and I want to look at the first one in verse number 2 and 3, because this is so important. It's a very powerful principle that we have to understand if we want to bring fruit in our service that is eternal and that glorifies God the Father. Now, in verse number 2 and 3, the first principle of fruit bearing is cleansing. Cleansing. Now, a possible problem with the branches is that they might not bring forth fruit. Verse 2, what does it say? Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. Now, the English King James translation of this verb has led a lot of misunderstanding. This taketh away. It's really not a very accurate translation, but it's made people go into the wrong theologies of losing your salvation and all this kind of stuff. But I want to look at this word in just a minute, and we're going to understand what this is talking about. So, in verse 2, there are 2 options, and there's 1 solution. First of all, the first option that the branches have is to not bear fruit. There are some branches that are not bearing fruit. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. The verb here, bear fruit, is in the present tense. Now, get this. It's in the present tense. And what that implies is there was a time that the fruit was coming, but now there's a time where it is not continuing. We have come to a point that for some reason the fruit production has stopped. Maybe it was a disease in the vine, or in a sense of believers, maybe there was a sin in the life, or something that is prohibiting or dragging us down, that is prohibiting our service for the Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps maybe we're trusting in religion and we're producing a lot of leaves maybe, but there's not really any fruit there. Whatever the reason, the fruit production has stopped. Now, what is the husbandman going to do when the fruit stops? The English says he's going to take away. Now, let's look at this. It's the word aire in the Greek. It literally means to take up, not take away. It has the idea of taking up. It almost is used in some senses as the word of resurrecting this branch. This is not the same as cutting it, totally removing it, throwing it away, getting rid of it, removing it from the vine. That's not the idea of this word at all. But God's first step here is not to chop and destroy. It's encouragement. It's cultivation. He's going to take that branch That believer that has for some reason stopped producing fruit, maybe he's trusting in himself, maybe he's kind of leaning on his own power or leaning on religion or trusting in his past works, but fruit is stopped and the Father's not getting glorified. So he's going to encourage. He's going to cultivate. The branch droops down maybe into the world or into religion and whatever it may be. He begins to trust itself. The Father is going to lift it up. Maybe put the branch to the sunlight a little bit more. Maybe it'll have a better opportunity to grow and to increase. The husbandman tenderly lifting that branch so that the fruit production can start again. This is the idea here that as a believer, if we've come to a point where maybe we begin trusting ourselves and the fruit is not coming, maybe it appears to be, and it's, like I said, corrupted fruit, but the Father is going to tenderly cultivate, lift up, try to get this branch in the right position so that it can again get out of its sin perhaps that it fell into, whatever it may be as a believer, so that we can produce fruit for the Father. Now, the second option in this verse is not only are there some that don't bear fruit and they have to be lifted up, encouraged, there are other trees or branches that bear fruit. And what does the Father do with these? It says, every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now, many interpret the meaning of purging here as something that's painful or something that's difficult. They perhaps see affliction or chastisement or the painful discipline that's brought to the branch so you can produce more fruit. But while this maybe sound like a good interpretation, it's not quite right. Let's look at the word purging here. The word purging is from kathairo in the Greek, and it literally means to cleanse. To cleanse. It's not something painful and destructive that's just going to tear the branch apart. It is to cleanse. Now, in our culture, I guess it really doesn't make a lot of sense in the Western Hemisphere because so typically this word is translated as purge or even to prune. But if you lived maybe in Palestine, then the translation of the word into cleansing would make a lot of sense. Because in Palestine, they would have a lot of insects, moss, other parasites that infested their vines, plenty of grapevines over there, and they would just simply wash them off. They would cleanse them. They would continually clean them. For what purpose? So that the production of fruit that is already going on will become greater. Now remember, we're talking about branches that are producing fruit. And the point is, the Father wants it to be able to produce as much fruit as possible. So he's going to cleanse. He's going to come down and he's going to cleanse the vine. He's going to cleanse that branch there. Maybe there's something that's built up on it that's hindering the ability of service for the Lord. And he's going to cleanse that vine so that fruit production can increase. These are things that perhaps don't stop the production of fruit, but they're things that hinder the production of more fruit. They are possibly things that obstruct the flow of life, the flow of prosperity from the true vine, Jesus Christ. Things that maybe it's pride in our heart. Maybe it's something that, you know, we're trusting ourselves a little bit, or maybe we're getting off focused a little bit of the ministry or whatever it may be. We allow things to come up in our heart that hinder the production of fruit. And many times that hindrance comes up from ourselves, doesn't it? It comes out of our pride. And there's a solution to this problem that we're going to see in verse number 3. So here's the two scenarios. If you don't bear fruit, the Father's going to lift up. He's going to hope that while you did before and you stopped, that you will return to bearing fruit. Second option here in this verse is that if you're bearing fruit, he wants you to bear more. He wants you to be fulfill the fullest potential possible to bear that fruit. Now, these two scenarios here, but what is the solution with this last one of needing to bear more fruit? Look in verse number 3. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. It is the cleansing through, if you want to call it as the Bible calls it, the water of the word. The very word of Jesus Christ is what cleanses the hindrances and the obstructions in fruitfulness. Staying in the Word of God, reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, understanding it and meditating upon it will increase the fruit of our service. To try to serve the Lord without this Word, without letting the Word clean our hearts daily, we're not going to be effective fruit producers for the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 3 is assuring us that while we are clean, now are ye clean, are standing before God because of Jesus Christ. We are clean. We're accepted to the Father. But there is the continual need of being cleansed so that we are not hindering the production of fruit. The New Testament talks about this so many times. In 1 Peter it says, we've been purified by obeying the Spirit. That's our standing. But yet in 1 John 3, it says we need to purify ourselves, a continual thing. 1 Corinthians 6 says we are washed. John chapter 13 talks about the need of daily, continual washing. How does that come? By staying in God's Word. By being in communion with the Lord. By reading the Bible, understanding, and asking the Lord to open the Word to you. Lord, if there's anything in my heart that is hindering the production of fruit, reveal it to me as I read your Word. And then remove it from my life. Help me to repent of it and get it out so that I can produce the most fruit possible. We are clean. We're in the vine. But there is a need for daily cleansing so that we can bear more fruit. And that cleansing comes through the Word of Jesus Christ. The Word of God that He's given to us. Now before we continue on, let's notice one more point concerning the fruit bearing here. Notice that just in these two simple verses, there is the need of a progression in fruit bearing. Notice in verse number 2, there is no fruit, bearing not fruit. Near the end of verse 2, there is simply fruit. Then at the end of verse 2, there's more fruit. So we went from no fruit to more fruit. Then in verse number 5, notice what it says. The same bringeth forth what? Much fruit. Does the Lord want us to be happy and satisfied with one little thing? He wants us to continually be in His Word and submitting. You know, the part of the problem is we are such proud for people that we cannot submit to what the Word of God tells us to do. We can't, Lord, I like doing it my way. You know, my way does produce some fruit because I've got, you know, maybe half of me and a little bit of you here, and I'm just doing okay, Lord, on my own. He wants a full surrender to His Word so that there is nothing hindering the flow. You know, I thought about a car. You know, I wish Bob Smith was here. He could help me, you know. But, you know, if you have a fuel line and if it's a little bit clogged, it'll affect the performance, won't it? And what does that do? That just builds up and builds up and builds up. And pretty soon you don't have any fuel going through. Maybe your fuel filter's clogged up or something. And then you're going to lose power to your motor. You're eventually going to have to stop and the car won't even go. That's kind of what will happen if we begin to kind of trust ourselves a little bit. And sure, you know, we are still going now. We're still ministering. We're still serving, and we're going along here, and we're producing some fruit and stuff. But over time, it's going to build up more and more, and there's going to be less fruit, and we're going to digress rather than what this passage says of the progression from no to fruit to more to much. How does that line, so to speak, keep clean? Through God's Word, through the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, taking this Word and applying it to our hearts, so that we can serve Him the most effective way possible. So without this constant daily cleansing in the Word of God, daily walking with the Savior, people will not be drawn to the Savior. As Christ said so many times in His ministry, we are to be salt and light. If we're full of ourselves, our own pride, we won't show forth the testimony of the gospel to others. When we're chained to religion, the emphasis is centered on man, methods, systems, theologies, and things like that, and it obscures the glory of God. Man thinks his glory is greater. So to bring forth fruit, people that come to a saving knowledge of Christ and begin to grow in Him, we must be faithful to the Word so that the fruit production will not be hindered, will not be obstructed, and we can be effective as we are sent out to service, as we read in verse number 16. That God has ordained us to bring forth more fruit and that fruit would remain. Do we understand this morning that it is an honor to have been chosen in the service of Jesus Christ? To be a believer and to have Him choose me and say, go serve. That kind of removes our pride, doesn't it? And it helps us to humbly follow the Word. And as I said several times this morning, I think of it especially as we enter the new school year. I think about it from my own life and heart. As we're going to have classrooms with many students, how much fruit we bear for the glory of God just this year, as evidenced in the lives of our students and the lives of the parents, is directly dependent on our surrender to the vine and our faithfulness to this Word. The fruit will stop. The fruit will digress if we start going away from this. We start filling up other things. And we're going to use a psychological thing, or we're going to begin to use what I think we need to do versus what does the Bible say what we need to do. We so many times get caught up with religion's done it so many this way for 50 years, so we've just got to keep doing it the way religion says. What about what the book says? Let's get into the Word. Is it right or wrong? Let's find out in God's Word and let's follow it. Let's be faithful as servants, as pastors, as teachers, whatever God has called you to do. Maybe it's not in this ministry. Maybe in your workplace, to be a faithful witness, to be in the vine and be in this book and be faithful to it, surrendering. That will give the most potential for that source and power to flow. And the Lord will be glorified as we bring forth fruit. Not anything. We'll have to somebody say, Lord, that was not me. Whew, that was you. And all the glory goes directly to Him. You know, we so oftentimes want to be noticed, don't we? God, just forgive us for wanting to build up our own fruit basket, so to speak. You know, hey, look at all the things I've done. Huge basket here. We like to point to ourselves and see those kind of things. God, forgive us for building up that type of mentality, but wanting to be noticed and what a great job we did and see the fruit that reflects me. We love that, don't we? It just goes right along with our sinful nature. God, help us to work under the influence of Christ, the influence of this book, so that the fruit which comes will not only be abundant fruit, but will point directly to the glory of the Father, directly to Him. When students come to Christ, may the glory go to God. When students grow in Christ and mature in Him, may the glory go to the Lord. When those students begin to even serve the Lord and lead others to God and go out and have their own families that begin to raise a Christian home, may the glory go to God, not to something that we did. So the first step here in bringing fruit to God's glory is cleansing through the Word of God, being faithful to this book. And next time we're going to talk about those last two points and we'll bring our message to a close. But God help us, especially as we face a new school year, as we look into the ministry that the Lord has given us just on a daily thing, a new week, whatever you want to look at it as, to be faithful to this book and say, Lord, don't let anything, my pride, hinder the fruit that needs to come, the source from the power of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ. God help us to be faithful. Let's pray. Father, we thank You so much for Jesus Christ. We could do nothing without Him. Lord, it's so humbling to think that we've been called, we've been ordained and put into service. It's a humbling thing, Lord, to think of that. And we allow our pride to just step right in the way so many times, Lord. I pray You'd forgive us, that it would not hinder the ministry that You want to have through us, the glory that You need, that You desire to have, Lord, through us. It's a humbling thing, Father. And I ask that as we go out into a new school year, as we go further and continue this ministry or at our workplace, whatever You've called us to do, Lord, that we would not have any sin, disease, sickness of spiritually in our lives that would hinder. But we thank You, Lord, that You're merciful. You don't just chop us off and throw us away. Lord, You lift us up. You encourage us. You allow Your Word to be effective to get us out of our pride. And we praise You, Lord, that You've done that. You're a faithful and merciful husbandman to the branches of the vine. Lord, thank You and praise You so much for what You've done. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.